There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 765, August 6th, 2018. Nasser?
Oh, dear. Botas on the Bet Fiddler program. You are the wind beneath my wings. And Dingo Day afternoon at Red Bull. Back to you, Dr. Rogers.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Renault, grab your Chiardo out of Christian Horner's hands. Ferrari, perhaps a little bit overrated. Red Bull whining about their Renault package. Ha, ha, ha. And this week's interview, Euro F3 driver Guan Yu Zhao with the Prima team. And just to remind everybody, we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab because that server space is expensive and we really would appreciate staying alive. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I am doing very good, sir. Thank you. Hope all is well on the left coast.
The left coast is very left.
I know. Okay, man, nobody saw this coming from the Australian coast. What a shocker during the summer break. I want to get your reaction on this first.
I was stunned. I wake up, the first place I go to is autosport.com, and boom, there it was. You know, Europe is 9 hours ahead of our California boys. So, you know, they were soaking in this for a while before I even woke up. But I am telling you, what great news. It shows that Ricciardo has testicular fortitude and he does not drive a Honda Civic. He's realizing that the team to watch is Renault. He knows, and they probably give him the whole spiel about how when we come to Formula One, we always win and we always have. And hey, it's going to be exciting. That's all I got to say. I just wish Hülkenberg good luck.
Yes, the news was first reported by the Daily Mail newspaper in England. About half an hour later, Red Bull released a statement confirming Danny Ric was departing at the end of the season. They did not disclose his destination, and this was confirmed about an hour later by Renault. And this all started, I am told, when Ricciardo rang Christian Horner last Thursday and told him to look for a new driver for the next season, and Mr. Horner thought this was some sort of a joke. The driver has not given any explanation or reason for leaving the team, and we can talk about this on our own, but one can see the environment he was in since the grand arrival with victory at Red Bull of Max Verstappen. Signing the young Dutch driver to a long-term contract with a estimated $25 million per annum contract did not send a "we care for you" message to Ricciardo. He was in the same situation as his Aussie mate he replaced at Red Bull, and you know who I'm talking about. So they put him in a situation where obviously he was not feeling comfortable. He had to do something, and he has now taken the move. Do you think this is a good move, apart from being excited that he's going to Renault?
Absolutely. It's a smart move. Renault is going to unleash the winning ways, trust me, without having to supply Red Bull anymore and deal with their crap. This is going to help Renault. Renault is pouring money. They're hiring. They're looking to get back to 2005, 2006. And they needed a Fernando, el machismo. And I think this is it.
Well, there is no question Ricciardo is a world champion with the right package, but I never thought 3-0 was possible by any teammate of Sebastian, but Danny Boy delivered that. On the other hand, it must be said, Max at Red Bull became to Ricciardo what Senna became to Prost at McLaren in 1988, difficult to breathe in the same garage. And just as Dr. Marco and Christian Horner were not shy in throwing Renault under a Greyhound, they were not shy in displaying who their left child and this driver can do no wrong is. And this was the same situation with Sebastian Vettel. I do not see Red Bull Honda powering a driver to world championship in the next two seasons. So from that point of view, bailing out on Red Bull makes sense. Knowing the team wants you to win will give him extra confidence and comfort at Renault. His Grand Prix wins, and I think he is close to 30, 40 in finishes, will give him that numero uno feeling in the yellow car. And you mentioned good luck to Hülkenberg. I agree, this move will make or break Hülkenberg's career in Formula One. If the Hulk is taken down from day one by the smiling assassin, then Renault will renew their pursuit of Esteban Ocon or some other young lay whippersnapper. One good thing Ricciardo did was not join McLaren, and this has been confirmed by Zak Brown now, that they came very close to signing Danny Boy. Any thoughts on Danny Boy if he had gone to McLaren?
Oh, McLaren is just a scary place these days, trust me. That would be like going to Williams.
Yes. Now, Sainz Jr. gets the Isaac Hayes CD at Renault, of course. The big question now is who will be teammate next to Max next season. Among the Red Bull Juniors, choices between Sainz Jr. and Pierre Gasly. Sainz Jr. has been on loan to Renault, but his name has been linked strongly with McLaren to create a Spanish armada if Nando stays in Formula One. Do you remember the relationship between Sainz Jr. and Max Jr. was not very kind? So I don't see Sainz Jr. going there. What say you?
I agree. I can't even believe that his manager or his parents would say, hey, kid, Max is trouble. Stay away.
Yeah, Max is like the naughty neighborhood girl. You know, you want to stay away from this person.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. They'll find somebody.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, Pierre Gasly has done well to be liked by Dr. Marco, which is quite an achievement in itself, and maybe promoted to mothership like Daniel Kvyat was when Sebastian Vettel jumped ship from Milton Keynes to Maranello. Obviously, the fan favorite and favorite for the host of F1 Weekly for the open Red Bull seat is Fernando Alonso. But his CV includes, under extracurricular activities, burning down the house in 2007 and bridge on the River Kwai at Suzuka a few years ago. This time, the Honda engineers may get to play his own tune. Karma, Nando-san.
Nando-san, no GP2 engine for you.
Yes, and you don't drive Honda in Indy cars.
There's no way that Fernando is going to Red Bull.
Why do you say that?
It's just not going to happen. Well, Honda doesn't want him. I mean, let's get real. Unless Honda, I mean, if they're that open-minded, I'll be really, really impressed. But let's not forget, he could be going to another McLaren fiasco.
No, with the package they have right now, Red Bull chassis is much better than McLaren chassis. I think he can drag that car into top five and maybe get a podium fairly easily.
Is that what he wants to do? Maybe get a podium?
Gee, that's much better than fighting with...
Is that what we're doing now? We're talking about let's maybe get in the top five? I mean, what happened to the machismo we all loved? This is it. Go to IndyCar, come to America, and win.
Oh, yes. That's the way to go. Well, you got to do what you got to do, and it will be a very interesting changing of some seats in the next few weeks.
Absolutely. This actually causes the domino effect, and it's going to be very interesting.
We don't know what's going to happen with Force India, with the team being in administration, what will happen to their drivers. The holiday season will have a lot of activities, I will say, in the next few days.
And I'm proud of Ricciardo and Renault putting this together right at the beginning of the summer break, so everybody could think and ponder.
Yeah, it's a bold move. You know, it's something that basically what he said to them was, screw me. No, no, screw you, pal.
Bravo. No, I'm very proud of Ricciardo. He's taking a chance, certainly, but I think he's taking a chance with a team that has showed steps forward, and he knows the motor, its drivability. We'll see what happens. I mean, I think this is a great decision for Renault, but Renault certainly has to step up to the plate. And by the way, Red Bull, I hope you're not expecting any Renault package updates.
No, that won't be happening.
Exactly.
I think a lot of files will be deleted by the time they get to Belgium.
Yeah. Alt, Control, Delete.
Yes.
All day long, baby.
Yeah.
So, Hungary, boy, to be honest with you, I mean, the race was great, but for me, the qualifying was really exciting.
Yeah, it's two races that should have gone easily to Sebastian Vettel have gone out of nowhere to Lewis Hamilton. And it's this is fantastic. I am really, really enjoying, you know, a mighty fine performance of Hungarian Rhapsody by the Lewis Hamilton Orchestra. Bottas plays a fine second trombone. But I have to say that Bottas did an excellent job. I don't want to call him a wingman because he don't like that, but I think he played a major part in Lewis getting this win, because if Sebastian Vettel had gotten ahead of him much earlier in the race, the red mist he can see may have allowed him to hunt down Lewis Hamilton and make more of a show than it was.
I agree, and I think Ferrari dropped the ball with, you know, the over 4 seconds pit stop for Vettel. They've got to be right up there with Mercedes in terms of pit stops, and they're just not doing it. You know, the spaghetti culture haunts them.
Yeah, talking of spaghetti culture, Mr. Niki Lauda had a lung transplant, right?
Correct.
And he was in pretty serious condition, and his recovery will take time. So I would like to take this opportunity to wish him full-speed recovery and fast recovery, like from 1976 Nürburgring, a great racing champion and a great racing hero of mine. You have to say anything on that, sir?
Yeah, I was surprised to see the news that he needed a lung transplant, but apparently he's recovering and he's making good progress.
Yes, and hopefully we'll see him at COTA in October. Now, Lewis, your favorite driver, has now won the Hungarian Grand Prix 6 times, and he has also won 6 Grand Prix races in 2 other nations, Canada, where he scored his very first victory in 2007, and the United States of America, winning both at Indy and COTA. Now, what was your take on this Lewis getting pole position? You said you really liked the qualifying.
Well, even Q1 was exciting. People coming out on intermediates too early, going back to slicks. Half of the track, turn one, was wet. The other part of the track was dry. There was so much decision making. There was some bumbling. I mean, putting Ricciardo out there on softs instead of the super softs was puzzling, but it was definitely very, very exciting, and certainly Lewis Hamilton grabbing pole was the coup.
Yeah, this guy is incredible in rain, that's for sure. And you know, in the 12 races so far, he has been on the podium 9 times, including 5 wins. He now leads the championship by 24 points over Seb. Now, here is an important question for you. Do you think it's all over for, or as they are saying in the media, that the championship is slipping from Seb's fingers? What say you?
Well, I think it is slipping from Seb's fingers because, you know, the German marching music is now playing, not in Seb's car, but it's playing over at Wolf's car. And they're going with the cadence. Their pit stops are flawless. And this is the second part of the season where everything has to go like clockwork. And Ferrari is still fumbling. Little teeny mistakes, but those add up to big mistakes at the end of the season.
Yes, and you know, Seb starting on soft yellow tire was serious intention that he meant business, and the business of Sebastian Vettel is to go very quick and wipe off the smile of Lewis and Toto's face. And I think he could have done that had the team not screwed his pit stop. This allowed Bottas to get ahead of Seb, and he delayed Seb's pending attack on Lewis lap after lap. I will leave it to Toto in calling Bottas a sensational wingman, but I really think he helped his teammate a lot in running away and avoiding the red scare. Seb was very lucky that he did not get a puncture, because going down 40 points or more to Lewis, and the other way around, maybe too much to recover for these both who are four-time world champions. Now, so far this season, Seb has four wins and a total of 7 podium appearances. He has what it takes and the package to deliver his 5th championship. High-speed tracks like Spa, Monza, and Suzuka, I think, will favor Ferrari. But, you know, who knows? Mercedes may come up with some upgrades and surprise everybody. But I think his biggest headache will be chance of rain, which will be advantage LCH. Surely there will be no rainfall at Yas Marina, but there are several races that may receive shower during the weekend. My take on this is this. Normal circumstances after Spa and Monza, I will not be surprised if the championship points difference between these two is like 4 or 5 points. And then it's, you know, we're back to square one. And I think, I mean, of course, with 24 points, Lewis has a advantage. But this championship is far from over as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, especially with Spa coming up, we could very well have another drenched weekend there. And then Monza, this is, for me, it's the line in the sand. I mean, Ferrari cannot let what happened last year at Monza. They have to ensure a 1-2 finish for Ferrari in front of the Tifosi to give people hope, to give their crew hope and confidence and new motivation.
Well, a DNF by Lewis in one of these races, Spa or Monza, will settle back in the game right away. But I think if Ferrari does not have a 1-2 in both races, and Lewis is there on the podium in both races, then Seb has a problem.
He's got a big problem, and Fernando knows what that problem is.
What is it, karma?
Bravo.
Okay, now, Mr. Kimi Raikkonen has been on the podium 9 times at the Hungaroring, including winning the race in 2005 with McLaren. Talking of 2005, you know, I have to say last night, I watched about first 20 laps of the 2005 Spanish Grand Prix just to, you know, get some racing juices flowing. And man, those cars sound beautiful, Mr. Rogers.
Those are V10s, Mr. Machismo.
Yes, sir.
Proper pistons. Proper everything.
Podium in Hungary was 8th of the season for Kimi and 5th in a row. But like his fellow Finn in the silver stable, Kimi is without a win in 2018. Talking of Bottas, I was very surprised that Mercedes brought him as soon as Kimi pitted, because very early in the race, as anyone knows, there is only one priority at Ferrari, and it's not Kimi. It was no surprise Bottas was losing grip on his rear tires in the closing laps of the race. Kimi is now 3rd in the championship, which is good for him and not so cool for Bottas. And for Bottas, the Baku loss must still be painful, as he is now 5-0 against his teammate and no chance of becoming world champion this year. He did not appreciate the wingman comment from his boss, Toto, who at one time was his manager and also invested in his career. He is lucky that Toto and Nicky are not clipping his wings at the end of the season. The clash with Seb was racing incident, in my opinion, and I'm glad no penalty was handed out, but the Danny Rick coming together was not intentional, but fairly clumsy on Bottas' part. It must be very frustrating for young, talented drivers, and we know quite a few here, to get into race-winning car and then realize who the teammate is. Did somebody say Rubinho or Eddie Irvine?
Heikki Kovalainen?
Yes. Yeah, that has to be a very bad feeling, I have to say.
It's a tough feeling, but you know what? You get a paycheck, you go home, and you're happy.
And that's very good, and these paychecks from these major companies is very good. Red Bull was on the Sergio Leone program in Hungary, good, bad, and the ugly. Good was the usual race day performance of Danny Boy. Bad was done blowed up, experienced by Max on lap 6. And the ugly was his and Christian Horner's potty mouth. This is really not good, and the way they are insulting Renault, I don't think I've ever seen this kind of behavior in Formula One. Have you?
No. This is, once again, I'm bringing up going over the line, because it's just ridiculous. I've never seen this happen before. I mean, I don't remember anybody insulting Ford or, I mean, it's just, it's stunning to just, I mean, they were talking about how, you know, how Christian Horner was babbling about how much they pay for motors and this is ridiculous, you know. I'm telling you, it's just going to get worse. I hope Renault gives them nothing by old 1961 Renault Dauphine engines.
Oh, wow. And he even made a comment, something to the effect that he will leave Cyril Abitbol to come up with his excuses. And then Max went completely ballistic, for which he has now apologized. This is very bad taste. You know, they cannot get an engine from Mercedes. They cannot get an engine from Ferrari. And, of course, they will not get an engine from Renault now. And I wonder what they will say to Honda if Honda does not give them a race-winning engine.
They can't say anything anymore because they're burning those bridges really quickly.
Yes.
You know, it's almost like they don't intend to be in Formula One in 5 or 6 years. You see what I'm saying? I mean, these bridges are very important in this sport.
Well, I have an idea. You know, they say minus and minus is plus. If they are burning bridges at Red Bull, why not bring the expert on this matter to the team? So I'd say Nando at Red Bull.
Perfect. Then let's get it done.
I wonder what Flavio is advising Nando on this issue.
I'm sure they're texting right now.
Yeah.
And Pedro de la Rosa.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Pedro de la Rosa. Well, they all have played their part in motor racing history, that's for sure.
See.
So what else you want to talk about, sir?
Well, the Haas look pretty good.
Yeah, they're doing very good. And let's see. I'm pretty sure they're going to keep Kevin Magnussen. But with the problem at Force India, at Williams, there are very strong reports that Lance Stroll will walk away from Williams. And who knows? Look, sounds like several people are knocking on the door at Haas.
Oh, I believe that. Haas is looking good. I think they're attractive, an American team based in North Carolina.
Yeah, and which only means that Romain Grosjean will be working a 9-to-5 and weekends at his Geneva bank.
Exactly, which is a good gig.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
So, yeah, no, this is it's a nice summer break. I'm happy. But the heat wave hitting Europe is brutal.
Yes, it is. When I was there, it was very hot, too.
I'm sure, but it's now even hotter.
Glad I bailed out on time.
Exactly. So, I don't know, but I'm pumped up. I'm happy for everybody. And as we move along in the podcast, why don't we bring in this new young racing driver that's driving for Prima in the European F3 Championship?
Yes, sir. His name is Wang Yu Zhu. He's been racing in Europe for a few years, and he's the first ever Chinese driver to be inducted into the Ferrari Driver Academy. He's driving for the very successful Prema Power Team, which is part-owned by Teddy Yip Jr. And my thanks to Mr. René Rosen, the team boss, for making this interview possible. And this is the second time we have interviewed a Chinese driver. If you recall, last time we interviewed Yifei Yi, who is currently leading the Formula Renault Euro Cup Championship. So it's good to see a Chinese driver coming up through the system. So, and I hope listeners enjoy this brief chat.
Okay, folks, I'm here at Sun Road with Chinese driver Guan Yu Zhu. Guan, good to meet you. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm feeling great and, of course, really happy with what we achieved today.
Good. At the season opener in Po, which I watched live on the web, you became the first Chinese driver to win a race in European Formula 3. Tell us about the victory and what it means for your career.
Yeah, I mean, coming to this season as an experienced driver, my goal, of course, is to win the championship, and first you have to win in races. And to win Po, such a historic, difficult straight circuit, of course, is a good credit to the team and myself that we've been doing a good job in pole, good qualify, made us front row for the race and got a good start. Just after that, just try to keep the gap and maintain the good laps lap by lap, because it's super easy to, of course, to make a mistake in pole with such a tight straight circuit, and to become the first Chinese driver, I'm super delighted, and hopefully I'm making my country proud.
Okay, good. Now, like you say, this is your third year in Formula 3. What was the biggest challenge when you moved up to Formula 3?
Of course, Formula 4, it was my first year. I did 1 year single sitting in Formula 4, and then the moving to Formula 3 with the downforce is mainly the hardest part, because, of course, with so much downforce in the high-speed corner, you really have to be trusting the car, trusting yourself. So that's the main issues.
Now, like Marcus, you're also in the Ferrari Driver Academy, which is very impressive. Tell us how this deal came about. Did you call them or they call you?
In 2013, I won the karting Rotax Max, the Junior Max European and British champion, finished third in the grand final in New Orleans. So after this, they called me, contact me to making a test in Fiorano, and I went there in beginning of 2014. Everything went well, did some physical training simulator, and after we signed, really happy to be the first agent to join the academy.
Yeah, very impressive. Are you based in Italy during the racing season?
Yeah, during the race season, based there because, of course, Team Prema is in Italy, so it's not far from the both factories, so live there is definitely the easier life you can do and concentrate more for the race weekend.
And what part of China are you from?
Shanghai.
Okay, we have a Grand Prix in Shanghai. It's been there for many years. How popular is motorsports in China?
Of course, these couple years, I have to say, it's been growing up much more than previous years because the first Grand Prix in Shanghai was 2004. It was 2004.
Something around that.
Yeah, I don't remember, but yeah, I was there for the first Grand Prix. And by then, I was only a small kid, wasn't a racing driver or anything. And of course, the Chinese sports is growing up, the motorsports in China, year by year, there's much more people knows Formula One, knows racing. Yeah, it's getting better, and I'm happy to hear the news for my country, for my city.
Yeah, okay. And as far as the karting scene is concerned, you know, China is a big country. Is there a well-organized national karting championship, or every region has its own thing?
I mean, we have a China national karting. That's when I started my first karting period. I was in China, in Shanghai, and I was doing the China championship, travel around China, and it was quite popular in the beginning, and it got a bit more quiet during the last 2-3 years, and these couple of years is growing up a bit more now.
And how long did you race go-karts in China?
I started karting 2008, and I was driving 2008 until 2010. And 2011, I was starting doing some racing in Europe, in UK.
You know, there's a Chinese driver, Yifei Yi, in Formula Renault. He's doing a pretty good job. Do you know him?
Yeah, I know him. He was my former teammate in karting when we was young.
Okay, good. Now, you said, you know, like you're the first Asian to be in the Ferrari Driver Academy. We see a lot of drivers from South Asia and other parts of the world, not traditionally involved in motorsports. What is your advice to them how to go about getting into single-seaters and do well in Europe?
I mean, first, you have to take it step by step. You have to start with karts. That's where the base is. And once you learn the basic technique, you go to, for me, Formula 4 is good for the rookie drivers, and you can learn how to drive a single-seater. And after, of course, Formula 3 is definitely the step you cannot miss during your motorsports career. And it's a hard car, hard to be fast, but it's a good technique. And if you're good in Formula 3 championship, I'm sure when you're going up to Formula 2, Formula 1, you will be fun as well.
Now, before moving to Europe, did you consider the American racing scene? You know, we have a program called Mazda Road to Indy, which I think is a very good program for young, talented drivers. Did you look into that?
Well, I don't really follow this series, so can't comment.
Okay. And when you were growing up, who did you have a racing hero, Michael Schumacher or somebody?
I have to say it was Alonso. He was fighting with Schumacher, but it was Alonso by then, yeah.
Okay. Who do you think will win the world championship this year, Sebastian Vettel or Lewis Hamilton?
Finger crossed for the Sebastian Vettel.
Ferrari driver, huh? Okay, your favorite track in Europe?
Budapest, Hungary.
How come? What do you like about that? The food?
No, not the food in general. I mean, yeah, food is not bad. City is beautiful. The track, I mean, it's pretty challenging track, but for somehow I'm just always doing well there, and I really like the whole thing around Budapest. Every year I've been scoring podiums, so yeah.
Okay. Finally, I have a request. Can you please say hi? I'm Guang Yu Zhu from China, and you're listening to F1 Weekly.
Hi, I'm Guang Yu Zhu from China, and you're listening to F1 Weekly.
Guang Yu Zhu, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com. Nass, thanks for another great interview. Of course, I'm sure Ferrari again interviewing, listening to your interview and recording everything.
Yes, since he is part of the program, Mr. Rosen was holding a recorder and recording everything.
That's fantastic. I like being scrutinized, but as long as you're wearing your F1 Weekly uniform, it's good news.
Yes, sir. That is very true.
Thank you, Nass. Why don't we take a quick break, and we'll be back after these brief messages.
Hi, I'm Carlos Sainz, and you are listening F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as I spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial, with the Swami, the King himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And you know what they say about New York. New York, start spreading the news. And normally we do a goodie bag, but the New York police found a too good of a goodie bag. With who? You explain, sir.
Ha! You mean Mr. France?
Yes.
Yeah, he was pulled over, and they, I think, what do they call him up there? Troopers?
Something like that.
State troopers searched his car, and they suspected something was funny. And sure enough, narcotics were found, pharmaceuticals, Oxycontin.
Wow, but you know his lawyer, I'm sure he has a highly paid lawyer. You know how his lawyer, what the defense would be? I'm going to tell you, he's going to say he was driving in Manhattan. He made a couple of right turns, and he got disoriented.
Exactly. It's sad, you know, that they've been catching NASCAR cheating, and there's, you know, NASCAR is not what it used to be. The numbers are dropping.
Oh, yeah, numbers have dropped, and a lot of tracks have also brought down some seating arrangements and grandstands. So, but this is affecting all motorsports, not just NASCAR.
Exactly, exactly. But you know what I do? I just blame Trump. So how about a goodie bag?
Okay, now we have the goulash goodie bag. Hungary was the winning nation at the first ever Grand Prix in 1906 at Le Mans. The winning Renault on Michelin tires was driven by Franz Sisch. And there was a Grand Prix in Hungary way back in 1936 at the Nepliget Park Circuit, which was won by Tazio Nuvolari and an Alfa Romeo. This is a big park, sort of like Parco Monza near Milano. Major breakthrough for Bernie as he brings the cutting edge of capitalist tool behind the Iron Curtain in 1986. The inaugural Hungarian Grand Prix was won by Brazilian Nelson Piquet after making one of the greatest moves in Grand Prix racing and passing of all the people, his fellow Brazilian Ayrton Senna, a must-see moment on YouTube. 3 years later, Senna was the victim of a slick move by Mansell in his Ferrari, and all Senna could say after the race was over was, "The best man won today," and this comment coming from Ayrton Senna must have meant something to Arnaud. Okay, amazingly, in 1990, Senna also lost a near win to Belgian Thierry Boutsen, who would win the race in a Williams. 1997, an incredible race driven by Damon Hill in his Arrows powered by Yamaha, which included passing Schumacher's Ferrari fair and square. Only a minor technical issue prevented this historic win. In 2003, Nando wins his first Formula One race by lapping Michael Schumacher. Merci beaucoup to the day of the expanding Michelin tire. In 2006, JB was eyes wide open after taking his first Grand Prix success after 113 attempts. Do you remember that race, sir?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
It was exciting, wasn't it? The physio and all that.
Yes. Oh, that's coming up next year. In 2007, first and so far the only case of a driver's physio doing a countdown when to leave the pit during qualifying. That, and every time I go to a Formula One race, I see this gentleman with Nando. Desperate move by a desperate driver that would ultimately cost him a third successive championship. 2008 Hungarian Grand Prix winner was greeted by a radio message from his team boss saying, "Welcome to the world of winning." And I'm glad Ron said that to Heikki Kovalainen, because no other teammate has ever said that to him since then in Formula One. Most wins in Magyar Republic as a driver, 6 for LCH, and McLaren is the most successful constructor with 11 wins. Last time they won here was 2012 with Lewis. And now, sir, since we are in the holiday break series here, we have a little segment called the Holiday Hot Lap. A quick look at championship standings as of now. Formula 1, Lewis Hamilton leading the championship over Sebastian Vettel, 213-289 points. Formula 2, George Russell leads 171-159 over Lando Norris. And the chatter on the web is that Mercedes would like to put George Russell either at Force India or at Williams, okay? And Lando Norris, who has so far won 5 championships in 5 attempts, he's going for a 6th this year. He is under contract to McLaren, but Toro Rosso is also trying to get him, and let's see what happens. GP3, your homeboy, Antoine Hubert, leads with 129 points over Callum Eilert on 114. European F3, Marcus Armstrong with 154 points, leads by 1 point over Daniel Ticktum. We interviewed Marcus Armstrong last show. He is with Ferrari program, and Daniel Ticktum is under the watchful eyes of Dr. Marco. Next, Formula Renault Euro Cup, Yves Yee leads on 157 points against second place man from Denmark, Christian Lundgaard, on 147. Logan Sargeant from Boca Raton, Florida, is 5th in the standings. He won the season opener at Paul Ricard. MotoGP, Marc Marquez leads over Valentino Rossi, 181 to 132. On Sunday, August 5th, they were racing at Brno in Czech Republic. Ducati won 2 led by Andrea Dovizioso over Jorge Lorenzo. Marquez was 3rd for Honda and Rossi 4th on a Yamaha. IndyCar, Scott Dixon from NZ, New Zealand, leads with 494 points over Alexander Rossi from CA, as in California, on 448 points. What say you, sir?
I'm happy. Alexander Rossi's really come of age with the IndyCar after winning the Indy 500. I mean, he's really at home.
Oh, yeah, he's a very competitive driver, something we knew long time ago. And I'm very happy for him and his familia. And good to see, you know, good talent come through the system.
Absolutely. Can't wait for Fernando to be there next year.
Yeah, and there is this young American who he's also from Spencer Piggott. He has also done a very decent job, and hopefully, you know, some other team, big team, will take him. And he can do one day what Rossi is doing now.
Very true. Very true. That's fantastic. So what are you doing this holiday season?
Well, there is work going on, so I'm busy with that, and hopefully we will continue podcasting every Monday.
That's what we do here. We're like E.F. Hutton.
Yes. You mean people do listen to us?
That's what I read in some weird magazine.
That's good. Thank you.
Yes, no problem.
Who's the editor of that magazine, Clark Rogers?
And what's the next interview for our listeners to look forward to?
Next week. How about Neil Jani?
That's good. We haven't heard from Neil in a while.
Yes. He was at Goodwood, so we had a nice chat with him. And this was very interesting. You know, he had to go to drive his Porsche up the hill, so we were unable to do a couple of interviews. And his PR lady asked me if I was able to get everything done. So I said everything except for one question, like I wanted to see, get his opinion on who the best drivers he has raced against. So she said, well, I can ask him that question and send you the audio file, which she did within an hour or so, talk about German efficiency. So I appreciate her help. So we will put that all together and put Neil Jani's interview next podcast.
Keep up the good work, Ness. I appreciate that effort. The listeners do as well. I want to thank everybody who listens. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.